Just can't be quiet this morning. There has been quite a few people that have been ill this morning, that have gone through things this morning and this week. So I just, if you call this house your home, you call this house family, just pray for one another. So we've gone through, lots of people have gone through stuff this week. Lots of people have, actually, let's just pray now. So if you are going through something yourself right now, you're going through something this week, or you're wanting a breakthrough, or you're going to stand in the gap for someone because they're going through something, let's just pray for them right now. Father God, we speak Jesus, just as the worship band sang, just as Millie prayed over, we speak Jesus into every situation of everyone that calls this house home, that is going through something, that needs a breakthrough, that's going through health issues, that are going through emotional things, Father, that just anything, mental health, Father, anything that is going on in people's lives right now, Father, that needs you, that needs you to encounter them, that needs you to touch them, Father, that needs your miracles, Father, that needs your encounter, Father. We just thank you right now, Jesus, that you are present, God. We thank you right now, God, that they hear you, they feel you, they see you, Father, that you encounter them right now in their situation, God. We thank you that you are bigger, that you already have the victory, Father, that you are bigger than what is going on, Father. You are bigger than any health diagnosis. You are bigger than any problem, Father. You are bigger than any issue, Father. You are bigger than any problem that needs a breakthrough, Father. You are bigger and you already have the victory, Father. You are outside of this time, Father. You already see what's going on, Father. So we thank you right now, God, that you are sovereign, you are bigger, and we believe that, and we stand on that now for every single person that is attached to us or this home, Father. We pray that over their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We can't be quiet. And I'm going to try not to cough through. I've also just, it's just a cold. It's nothing, no big deal, but it just won't go away. It's annoying me. All right, I'm excited for Connect Groups. We have family. I'm excited that we're calling it Tables. And I don't know if everybody's been seeing the new logo. And we're going to get something out that explains what it is. So if you weren't here and you don't know, I'm not going to go into every detail at the moment. There will be a little bit of a blurb of what it means, but when you have a look at the actual logo, the cross is surrounded by an outline that's meant to represent the table. So the community coming to the table, and this is what we've done for the last 10 years, but this is what we've done as a community of a church, as well as a community of a neighborhood, as well as ourselves with Jesus. And then all the actual, the four spaces around the cross represent it is the map of Langford. And it's designed in a way to fit in the cross. So it's really saying Jesus in the center of Langford. Jesus is everywhere. But representation of us and who we are, we're right in the center of Langford. So that's what our logo is. And so to call it Tables is a massive representation of that. And, you know, we've had Connect Groups in this church, I'm going to be honest, for quite a few years. Some have really flourished, some haven't. But Vicky's word last week, where she spoke about formally and then giving it a go. So basically what might not have necessarily worked then or could have worked then, or we did lay it down at the end of the day, we laid it down, and then to pick it up and to start again. And that's what we're going to do. It could really, really work for our church. And Shelley actually sent a message just saying this is where she found love, this is where she found support, this is where she found friendship. And that's a testimony of what Connect Groups actually do. Because when you're sitting in a church, you're going, well, I don't know who to call sometimes. I don't know who is there to support me, or I'm waiting for the pastor to call me and they're not calling me, or however that might look, or that leader's not calling me. But when you've got that group that's supporting you and loving you and just seeing how that your day is, or seeing, you know, you're going through something and you go to this group, can you just pray for me because I'm going through something? That's what Connect Group is. That's what family is. It's like coming around your table for, I mean, it's a bit different now because our kids are a little bit grown. Everyone's got their lives and we still do. But when we were growing, when the kids were growing up, we always came around the table at dinner time, and we had this saying of what's the best day of the part, because Deanna mixed up all the words. Instead of best day of the part, it was instead of best part of the day, it was best day of the part. It was So we used to go around, what's the best day of the part? But we would sit around and actually talk about what the best part of the day was. And that's what you do as family, and that's what you do as a connect group, is really just coming around food, loving on one another, supporting one another, getting to know one another, and that becomes your family. That becomes who we are. But like Sheila and Jonathan were saying, the macro into the micro, we're just becoming small groups of that. So I'm really excited. Well, we're really excited to see connect groups flourish into that. Before I go further, I just want to announce we have a newlywed couple in our in our mix. You probably don't want the attention, clearly, because then you guys just put it on Facebook. But Nikki and Dave, congratulations. You just got married. They're very newlywed. We all just found out on Facebook this week. But congratulations. So Lent, we're on our 16th day of Lent. I don't know how many of us are following our calendar. But today, so you don't do Sundays according to the Lent calendar, but today we're praying for asking the Holy Spirit to lay someone on our hearts that we don't usually pray for, but to pray for. So even if you're not following the calendar, it would be great to ask the Holy Spirit to lay someone on your heart to pray for that you don't normally pray for, because that person's getting prayed for by you. But I've been doing two Lent devotionals this year, mainly because we've been doing two similar similar Lents, one from last year, one to this year. Next year, want to look at doing a different Lent devotional. So I've been doing it this year to see how it will look for next year. So I've been doing two, following the one that we're doing and doing the second one that we're going to be doing next year. And this has been a really interesting one, because Lent is really about repentance and about praying and about fasting and about just leading up to the crucifixion. It's not meant to be a religious thing. It's not meant to be you have to do these things. It can be like that, but that's not how we've done it in this way. So this particular one was, and we can fast food. Well, you're meant to fast food, but people have been really creative with what they're fasting. People have come to me this time and said, I'm fasting this, I'm fasting. I'm not going to tell you, because the testimonies are going to come out hopefully and you're going to hear what people are fasting. People have been really creative of what has filled their lives to what they can get rid of. We've become so accustomed to what we can fast when it's food things, that what we can fast but still fill our lives with so much else, and food seems to be a little bit easier to fast than what we've actually filled our lives up with. So some people have become quite clever in, I'm going to actually fast this because this is what I see is consuming my life more than eating this particular food, right? Because then we've made it sort of a health thing. Well, I'm going to, you know, fast this. Well, it's good for your health, but does that actually do anything when you miss it? All right, what does that do in your life? So this second one that I've been doing, it leads, the scriptures lead all the way to the crucifixion, but it actually gets into your inner thought life. So this one particular day was talking about fasting regret. Very interesting, right? So I started thinking, how do you actually fast regret? So I started thinking that, but then it started talking to me about it. So we went through the His mercies are new every morning. He makes everything new. So it was going through the scriptures, and it was talking about you don't feed it, you don't entertain it. Every time you think about it, you're not actually feeding it. That's pretty much what you're doing. You're not entertaining it. You're not thinking about what if. You're not thinking about I shouldn't have done that. Or however it is, you're actually going, you know, God, you made actually something new. I'm not going to go backwards and think about that. So it was an interesting thought. And I'm thinking, well, how many of us can actually go through these weeks and fast food or fast something that doesn't really get to the core of who we are? Then we get to this position at the end of it and we go, well, that was a really great time. I really felt God. But what's actually moved from the inside of us? Not a lot has changed, or not a lot has shifted. We're believers, and we might have felt His presence, and we might have gone through some really beautiful times with God, with us between God, and that was really amazing, and I felt this, and I went through this, and that was really great. But what has shifted in me? Do we still have that I don't know, fear of rejection? Do we still have that, I don't know, unforgiveness? Do we still have that, I don't know, bitterness? Do we still have that? Because we're not actually getting in there. We're just sort of going, let me feel your presence in this time leading up to the crucifixion because you saved my life and you've given me salvation. So anyway, so it was sort of like getting into this. I wonder how many of us, or me, myself, have really gotten into, there was a lot of different things so far that is in this fast. But anyway, we're going to go through that next year. But it was just very interesting getting into the thought patterns, because when we're going into transformation, that's really what that is. Transformation, which is our year, which is our season, which is our next, and being authentic people of authentic followers of Christ, that is a genuine, authentic following of Christ. That is not just an intellectual, I know the Bible, and you come and tell me what scripture is because I know it more than you, or I'm going to go and listen to a different preacher because they're better than you. It's got nothing to do with your intellect. Are you an authentic follower of Christ? Do you follow his ways? Do you practice his ways? Does everything you speak resemble what he says? Does everything you speak has a motive of love behind it? So anyway, let's turn to John 12, 1:11. Let me just pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this message, Father. Thank you that you speak it, God. Thank you that this is the message that you've given for this day, for your will. May you use these words and encounter every single person here this morning, Father, in your name, amen. So through this Lent, through this time, we're going to have our overseers. So we're in John 12 today, sort of, and that's like a week out from going into the crucifixion. But then we'll have our overseers next week. And then we're going to be speaking a bit on baptisms, but then also going into the week of, or the time leading up to the crucifixion. And then Sky, doing baptisms because we're doing water baptisms. And Sky's going to be speaking on Palm Sunday, and then we're going into the week of Easter. So that's sort of so you've got an overview of what's coming up. But if you can be here next week to meet our overseers, because we have all never met them and they don't know our church, that's really exciting. All right. We at John 12, 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with. All right. Okay. Where am I at? Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she would save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests had made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. There is so much in that, and you're probably not going to know where I'm going to land right now. But questions. I'm going to land on questions. How many of you have a question? You know how you hear the, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God one question. What's that question? You don't know. I went looking. Do you know there's actually articles of people that actually say, oh, this is what I'm going to ask. So, this is a couple of things that I saw. Why didn't he paste our husband's pictures on our foreheads? Does Adam and Eve have a belly button? Why did you create beings that knew you would that would reject you? We've actually got a friend that has always said she struggles with her hair, so she would ask him, why did you give me my hair? Then there was others that came from very deep wounds. So these questions had backgrounds of why they were asking these questions. So questions aren't always what questions seem. So in verse 4, one of the disciples, I think, because we can overlook this one question, right? Because he was a disciple. Because we know the outcome, we overlook who he was. But it says he was a disciple. He was a disciple of Jesus. So he was a follower of Jesus. Nobody knew at this point what was going to happen. It says, one of the disciples. That was it. That was all that was said at this point. Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him. This is what we're reading, right? But that's not what was said that day. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. So if I were to title this message, it would be, what questions are you really asking? Because it sounded like a good question. It sounded like a fair question. It sounded like a caring question. It sounded like he had the poor people's heart at heart. That's what it sounded like. He was a disciple. So he was a follower of Jesus, right? Sounded like a humble question. They didn't know the outcome. And only we know it, because we know the story, but even reading it after, it said, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So he was a disciple, he was a follower, and he was a keeper of the money bag. So if someone is a keeper of the money bag, that would show these people trusted him, because he was also a keeper of the money bag. So you would think that he was trusted and he was a follower of Christ. And he asked a fair question. That's what we think if we were back in that day. If we were put in this scenario, right? And we're all Christians and someone came and asked that question, especially the fact that we do what we do in the neighborhood. And someone came and asked, I pondered this because I wondered if I would ask a question like that, or if someone would pose a question like that to me, or if I was trusted with something like a money bag or someone else was. But we don't know what's going on in the background. We don't know, right? We don't know. Because he was a disciple, he was a follower, and he was a money bag keeper. So he seemed trusted and he seemed like a follower, right? So let's take a look at John. I'm skipping a little bit. It's a little bit different, so I'm just skipping a little bit here at the moment. So John was someone who knew Jesus from before he was born and before Jesus was born, right? So John knew Jesus, who Jesus was. And John spent his whole life basically being see-through. To everything that he did, he projected for people to know Jesus. That was his life. That's how he spent his life. He directed everyone to know who is coming, to know the one who is coming. So John 1:29-30, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. A year later, he ends up in prison. There's a whole lot of reasons of scholars think of why this question went out and was asked, and I'm not about to debate into why we think this question was asked. But this question still went out and was asked. John still sent out a question. John's in prison. So we're thinking day in, day out, we don't know what he was going through. We don't know if he was feeling abandoned. We don't know if he's thinking, Jesus, you came and I'm still in prison. Jesus, you haven't got me. Or he's hearing all the miracles and he wants his disciples to see. We don't actually know the reason why he sent out his disciples to say, are you the one that was meant to come, or should we expect someone different? We actually don't know, but we do know that he questioned, Jesus, are you the one? Right? So you've got someone over here who sounded like a really humble question. We should be giving this to the poor, this money, this perfume, this money, whatever. Over here, it's like you're hearing all these miracles. He knows who Jesus is from way before Jesus, when Jesus, before he was born, and he's going, are you actually the one, or should we be waiting for somebody else? Right, there's two questions here. He's questioning Jesus in one, and the other one, this one's looking like he's caring for the poor, right? A quote from Dr. Leonard Sweet. He says, in the Jewish culture, it's said to be an act of reverence to ask questions of the story. The Jews are confident that the story is strong enough to be tried and tested around the table. Around the table, a Jewish child has "that's a good question" drummed into his or her soul. Not "you do not ask that question." Questions are sacred. Judas' question seems sincere and loving. That's what it seemed like towards people, towards the poor. The why behind the question was the issue. The motive, the agenda, all of that behind the question. Because something in him was already being formed. Even though he was a disciple, saying he was a disciple, saying he was a follower, something was being formed in him that was not following the ways of Jesus. There was a contrast. John's looking imprisoned. Because John's in prison. More so, Judas is imprisoned. Judas is looking free. So we have to think about, I guess, where we are as people, where we are as Christians, where we are as Christ followers. Because we can actually look free, but there's something that's being formed on the inside of us. We can say, you know what, Jesus, I'm following your ways. You know what, Jesus, I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm caring for these people. Look, Jesus, I'm caring for these people. And sometimes he just wants you to come to him and say, you know what, why God did this happen? Why God were you not there? Why God is this still happening? Why God am I not hearing you? Why God, why? These questions are the questions that reveal the truth. Because what Jesus then said back to John were all the miracles that were happening. So the truth was revealed through John's question. Behind Judas's question was a wicked heart. So true followers of Jesus are those who arrange their whole life around the goal of transformation into the image of Jesus from the inside out. So Elton spoke about a caterpillar being transformed, caterpillar to butterfly. I had a caterpillar. I was thinking last week, it was 2 weeks ago when he said, I had a pet caterpillar in a park when I was seven. And I used to go to the park corner and see this caterpillar. I thought in my head I was seeing this caterpillar every day until one day the lawn got mowed. And then one day I thought, well, maybe it turned into a butterfly. I don't know. I thought it died. I don't know. But I was convinced it was my pet caterpillar that I was meeting there every day. But I probably only met it one time. But anyway, when you think about how long it was being formed from a caterpillar to a butterfly, it takes about 2 weeks. After the 2 weeks, it only lives for about a month. If you have a look at our lifespan, right, and think about if we were to turn that into a human form, if we were to look at it like a butterfly, and we were to be transformed all the way up until nearly death, we'd be being transformed every single day, if we were to look at it that way. We think transformation is going to happen like that. We can't think ourselves into transformation. We can't think ourselves into authenticity. We can't think ourselves into being followers of Christ. We can't intellectually know the Bible and think it's going to happen without any effort, without any trying, without any practicing of what he does. We cannot think ourselves to being followers of Christ without reading his word, without praying, we cannot do that. We can't think our way into transformation. Even looking at the caterpillar, that takes a whole body transformation. A whole body transformation. So if we're getting transformed every single day, all the way up until death, that's an everyday uncomfortability. Everyday uncomfortability of what God is trying to transform in us. If you're comfortable, you're not being transformed. That's the truth. If you're sitting there comfortable, you're not being transformed. If you're comfortable in your life, you are not being transformed. I know that's a little bit harsh, but if you're comfortable in your life, you are not being transformed. What we pay attention to grows. It's very funny how Sheila came up here and was talking about the five people that you hang around. I actually had on here, I was having a Zoom meeting with Muzz. They're coming here, he's coming here in August, mind you, but anyway. I was having this Zoom meeting with him, and he always says this. He said it here, and he says it to me all the time. You are who you hang around. You want to be a millionaire? Hang around three millionaires, you'll be the fourth. You want to be fit? Hang around fit people. You want to be healthy? Hang around healthy people. I can't even remember what we were talking about, but I remember he always says that, right? What we pay attention to grows in us. What we love, we do. It's not what we know. We can know something, but what we love is what we do. It's not what we know. Judas was a disciple, but he was being formed into something else. He was walking with Jesus, but he was being formed into something else. He wasn't being formed in the way of Jesus. So you can just, I'm imagining maybe he started dabbling into the money box bag, whatever it was, and maybe a little bit here. Maybe he was a bit short one day, and maybe he went, oh, I'm just going to dabble here, and oh, I got away with that. No, I'm just going to, oh, I'm a bit short the next day. Oh, I'm just going to try. Oh, no one caught me. And, you know, it's just a little small little things, a bit like what Millie said up here, small little things. She was doing the reverse. If you're not reading, if you're not in the Word, next minute it's 2 weeks you haven't been in the Word. Let's look at it this way. Judas is going, I just want to dabble a little bit. I just want to dabble a little bit. It's forming in him. He's with Jesus. He's with Jesus. He's actually with him. I'm just going to dabble a little bit. I'm just going to dabble a little bit. We're thinking he's a disciple. They're thinking he's a disciple. I'm just going to dabble a little bit. I'm just going to dabble a little bit. I'm just going to dabble a little bit. I wonder what would have happened. Like we all go, you know what, this was God's perfect plan. But I wonder what would have happened, what God would have used. Because we would have known his plan happens in the end of the day anyway, right? So he would have used someone, something else to have his plan with Jesus for us, for redemption anyway. But I wonder what would have happened if Judas went, I see who's in front of me and I want to repent from my way. And whatever's being formed in me at the moment, I don't want anymore. Because the greed got in him. Because then the dabbling, oh, you could, a whole year's worth with that perfume. Oh, what it would take to give for you to give us Jesus. Oh, that's a lot of money. And in the end, even after that, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't leave it there. Took his whole life. He doesn't leave it there. Do not think that the little bits that we're dabbling in are going to leave it there. It grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. And it's up to us which way it grows. It's up to us whether we grow into Jesus' way or whether we grow into the opposite way. Something's being formed in you every day. Something. You can be a follower of Christ. You can be a disciple of Jesus. You can say you're a Christian. But something's being formed in you every day. Every day you wake up, you're watching something. Every day you wake up, you're listening to something. Every day you wake up, you're paying attention to something. Something is forming in you every day. Something is growing in you every day. And the only thing that you're doing is what you want to do and what you love doing. You're not doing what you know you need to do most of the time unless you want to do it. Unless you love to do it. That's not usually the case unless you're very disciplined and know that I have to change my ways. Normally, we fall back into the routine. So that's why we leave here on a Sunday and we think, oh, maybe I need to start reading the Word more. Maybe I need to start spending time with the Lord more. Maybe I need, yeah, that was good. Maybe I need to actually be in worship a little bit more. Maybe I need to actually ask Him questions a little bit more, be a little bit honest with Him. And then we get to like Monday morning or Sunday night or something and we go back to normal because it's not our habit. And we're not disciplined enough, and it's not what we're used to, and it's not what we love, and it's not what we want to do, because that's what takes over more than what our intellect does. So we can know everything, and we can be as smart as anything, but sometimes we can be pretty dumb in what we do. That's the truth. We can be. I won't say it again, but we can be. So Judas wasn't being formed in the right way. I heard it, so repentance. So we're talking about when we repent, it takes our whole life, right? It's our whole being. In the Greek, it's actually called metanoia. Anyway, it means to change your mind. So the word repentance, as much as it's our whole life, it's also our thought process, right? So it means it's changing all the way we think. We know it, we've heard it so many times, repent, change the way you think, turn this way, and now we start walking this way. It doesn't happen like that. We want it to, but habits don't happen like that. Habits are habits. We can't just go, oh, I think this way now, and let me walk this way, I'm saved, and this is what happens now. No, it actually takes your effort. I've said this whole year, it takes your effort to do everything you do. Everything you do to come to church, it takes an effort. Everything you do takes an effort. Why would this walk not take an effort? Why would this walk just land on your lap if I just turn and walk this way? It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. It'd be nice to, it'd be easy to, but it doesn't. It doesn't happen that way. I heard it this way. To repent is to reimagine your life from the ground up around the kingdom of God, a whole new way to be human in God's power and presence. Reimagining is the first step to transformation. Transformation is ongoing. It's reimagining. It's rethinking. It's constant. We can't just know our way. We can't just think our way into transformation without spending time with Him, without knowing His ways, without forming new habits. We can't do that. I've been on quite a bit of different medications in the last year, right? So I'm on an elimination diet right now to try and reset my gut, right? That's getting you a little bit intimate into my life. Coffee has been the hardest thing for me. I feel I have a right to coffee because I'm Italian and I should not give up on coffee because it's just in my DNA, right? That's how I've always been. I know it's not good for me. I know that it causes really bad things in my body. And I know that getting off it, it creates fatigue and headache and loss of energy and all this sort of stuff. And it's not good for me. I knew from years ago, you've got to have a drink of water before you have coffee. So I do that, but I still have coffee straight after that. So anyway, I've been on this thing for the last week. And in the mornings, to try and wean off coffee, I've had a green tea and coffee. I sip the green tea and I sip the coffee. And I'm like, I'm trying to wean off this, right? It's hard. Because I love coffee, and I don't even know if I will stop drinking coffee after this, even though I know it's not good for me. Even though I know green tea is better for me, and it's got better side effects and effects and all this stuff for my body, I know this. You don't have to tell me. I know it. But I don't know if I will do it, because I love coffee. I love the smell of coffee. I love the taste of coffee. It's black, so I'm not drinking milk, everybody, but I love it. So I don't know if I will stop drinking coffee at the end of this. Don't know. Because I love it. I've got the knowledge of everything that I need to know about green tea. There's nothing you can tell me that will change it. But because of what I love, that's what I'll do. That's what we do in our lives. I will have the knowledge of everything about the Bible. I'll have the knowledge of everything that Jesus tells me to do. But if I don't want to do it and I don't love it and I love something else, that's what I'm going to do. nobody can tell me any other way. I was reading a part of this book from Jamie K. Smith. So he was there's this guy, he's talks about you are what you love, right? Spiritual formation. So there's this big gap of what we know and what we do, and a bigger gap of what we do but what we love, right? So he was reading this book. His wife gave him this book. So he was a big, like, I think he was a junk food eater and blah, 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 blah. And so she gave him this book from Wendell Berry Farm, this environmental book that talked about plant eating and plant foods and all this sort of stuff. And he was sort of getting into it and he thought, yep, you know what? I could really get into this book. You know, this sounds really good. And he was sitting there. He looked down and he realized while he was reading it, he was sitting in a food hall in Costco eating a hot dog because he loved hot dogs. And he said, the things you love might be a contradiction to the things that you think you love. So you actually think, you might think that you love health. You might think that you want that. But your love for something else is greater. So in your minds and in your lives, what you know can sometimes be a vast contrast to what you actually love and what you do. Don't be fooled by what you know to what you do. Keep an eye on what you actually do to what you know. He says it takes a combination of desire, intellect, and habit. It can't be intellect alone. Desire, intellect, and habit. Which means it takes effort. So we need to know what we love is far greater than the influence of what we know. So what do we love? And what do we want to do versus what we know? Because just because we know something, just because it's facts, just because we think something doesn't mean it's the best thing to do. I mean, what we know that the Bible says, but what's in our hearts that we want to do, different things. So James 1, 22, 25 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You can't just think your way into transformation. You have to do it. I'll get the band up. We need to ask sincere questions to the Lord. God, why? Jesus, are you the one? Our faith strengthens and our lives start to transform and take place when we go before Him and we actually ask those questions like John asked. Are you the one? Or should we wait for someone else? And He'll come with the truth to you. Don't ask a question. When you're asking a question with something in the back, with Judas's question had self-motive in the back. Self-motive. When you ask a question this week, when you're speaking this week, the challenge for all of us is when we're speaking, when we're asking questions, what's the motive behind that? Is it self? Is it so we get to know something, so we get something out of it? Or is the motive love? Is the motive so somebody else gets something out of it? Because the disciples would have heard, came back with everything that Jesus did. They would have, their faith would have been enlightened through it all. And that could have been the motive why he sent the disciples out. There's a lot of speculation of why this happened, of why that question went out, because John knew who he was, but he's in prison. But have a look at the smallness of what Judas did to the escalation of what happened to him. So when we're asking questions, when we're speaking, what's forming on the inside of us? When we're doing something in our week, what's forming on the inside of us, when we're reading our word, what's forming on the inside of us. I'm not saying to actually pick it up like a religious thing and we're not getting anything out of it. I'm saying actually pick it up because you want to get to know who he is. You want to get to know his ways. You want to spend some time with him. You can't know each other without spending time with each other. That's what's forming on the inside of us, but is something else forming on the inside of you? We don't know what actually sparked Judas to start taking from the collection. We don't know. We don't know. Maybe something in his childhood. We don't know, right? So there could be something that we haven't actually let go of. Like I said at the beginning, the whole fasting of regret. We don't actually know if something's on the inside of us that we haven't let go of. And so then what we're speaking has got this ill motive behind it, has got this ill agenda behind it. But we're thinking we're speaking what's right. We're thinking we're speaking what's pure. We're thinking we're speaking what sounds humble, what sounds like we're looking after people, what sounds right. But what's behind it is self. What's behind it is fear. What's behind it could be fear of rejection. What's behind it could be fear of all sorts. What behind it could be pride. Behind it could be all sorts of things behind what we're speaking, because we haven't dealt with the core of what's going on. But if we're saying we're followers of Jesus Christ, then we go, you know what, I want to actually repent from what's going on in my heart, and I want to turn. And I don't want to just turn and go, okay, now my mind's changed. I want to turn and I want to step with you. And I actually want to walk with you. God, why? Jesus, where are you? Jesus, is it really you? Jesus, why did this happen? All of that. He says, I want you to come to me. He says, my story is strong enough for you to come to me with anything. But come to him with the question that means that's authentic, that's real, that has love behind it. So what's forming in us? What's the motive behind the question, the questions we're asking? Is there something you need to turn from? Something you've kept hidden? Something you're doing only a little bit of, but it's forming and it's getting in your heart? What are you doing every day? What's getting in your heart every day? Because whatever you're doing is transforming your heart. Whatever you're doing is forming in your heart. Whatever you're speaking is forming in your heart. It's forming in your heart. So you can have the knowledge of the Bible. You can know your scriptures. And it won't go anywhere. Because what's forming in your heart, Judas was his disciple, but what was forming in his heart ended up taking his life. So carve out some time with him this week and ask some real questions. God, were you there? How do I know you are real? Are you the one that I need? I don't know if I believe in miracles today. Why didn't you answer? Why aren't you answering? They're just some things to get you started on, maybe to prompt a question that you might want to ask. Can I just grab the lights down for a second, please, guys? There's so much in that, because there's so much that's forming on the inside of us. We're forming every day. We're becoming something every day. And it's either compounding stuff that we haven't actually given over to Jesus, or it could be actually following the way of Jesus and releasing it, which is amazing. But if that's you this morning, we want to pray for you. If you go, you know what, everything that I'm doing or what's forming in my heart is compounding all this stuff that I can't get rid of. And you don't even have to tell us, we'll just pray for you, but you can all stand. But if you're someone who's just questioning, like, God, where were you? Or God, where are you? And you want prayer for that, you're welcome to come to the front. But I'm going to pray over you all anyway. But this week, as we go off this week, everything we speak, every question that we ask, what's the motive behind it? Is it love? Does it direct you to Jesus? And does it direct people to Jesus? I just want to put that out there. So while we're in this Lent, while we're in this repentance, while we're in this transformation, everything that we speak, where is it leading to? Is it leading to forming you to be a disciple and follower of Jesus? Or is it leading you in a different formation? Thank you, Father. I thank you, God, that you're present, Father, throughout our days, throughout our hours, throughout our weeks, in every waking breath, Father, you are there, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you teach us, Lord, how to come close to you, God, how to come and ask the right questions to you, not even right questions. The questions could be so messy. The questions could be questioning you, but just the real, authentic rawness of questions. May our hearts be so open that we come to you with them, God. May our hearts be so open, Father, that you come and you answer and you reveal the truth to us, because our hearts want that from you, Jesus. So I just thank you, Father, that you come and meet us exactly where we're at, God. Show us how to be true followers of you, Jesus. Show us how to follow your ways, Father. I thank you, God, for every broken heart that's here this morning, Father, or every heart that's really just wanting to follow your ways, Father. May you teach them, God. May you draw them close, Father. May you bring them near, God. May you help them carve out some time, Father, just to spend with you, Jesus. Show them how to be real with you. Show them that you just accept messiness, God. They don't have to come with anything perfect, Father, because you accept messiness, Father. So I just thank you, God, that we just break all intellect down, Father, but we come with desire and forming new habits and intellect all in one, God. Give us the desires of the heart, Father, to follow your ways, God. Show us how to create new loves that will come into your ways, God. And everything that we love that is not of you, Father, may you teach us how to transform that, God, into your ways, into your love, Father. May what we know be transformed into our hearts, Father. May it not just stay in what we know, God, but may you transform it into our hearts, Jesus. May we be true followers of you, God, from our hearts, Father. And may we be those true followers of you, Jesus. That we don't come with a self-motive question, God, but an authentic question of love to find the truth of who you are, Jesus. And that we become those true followers, Father. In your name, amen. So, if you are wanting prayer for anything, this will be open while the worship band's on.
I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is sad. A break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety. Every soul had captive by.